This is Rita Ehrlich. I'm here at the Prince in St Kilda, newly reopened after renovations, and I've been at a hospitality industry lunch where Sher Wagyu beef was served. I'm sitting with Vicky Sher, who with her husband Nick established Sher Wagyu. How long ago?
We bought our first embryos in 1991, so we're coming up to 28 years.
Does this make you one of the oldest Wagyu producers in Australia?
That's true. We're one of the first pioneers of Wagyu in Australia. There are a number of other families who also started at the same time, but we actually calved the first purebred Wagyu calves in Australia in February 1992.
Why Wagyu? What interested you about Wagyu?
Look, my husband and I, we first read about Wagyu in the late 80s, that some genetics had come from Japan into America, and we were really intrigued by the brand or the breed of Wagyu and the quality of the meat it produced, and that was just from what we'd read. We'd never been to Japan at that point. And we knew that at that point Australia was starting to open up a lot more export into Japan of regular beef, and we thought that that was an industry in agriculture that we could embark on that would have a future, that had a real commercial base. Because at that point we weren't farming.
Then that was a huge step to take to become farmers and of a breed of beef that nobody really knew about in Australia.
No, that's right. I mean, my husband studied agricultural science, but neither of us are from the land, so we didn't have any land in the family. So we leased some small blocks on the Mornington Peninsula, and obviously we were doing other things at the same time because, you know, you just can't start making any money out of three cattle, you know, in the early days. It takes many, many, many years to build up a herd. So my husband was an agricultural consultant and I was a graphic designer. And you're right, no one had ever heard of Wagyu then, and people thought we were quite mad, but
A huge challenge when your primary market is an export market to a country that's not going to receive its own products well from another country.
Well, no, Japan was open to beef from Australia at that time, and the market was opening up a lot into, and that was primarily Angus beef. But we just sort of thought that if we did a Wagyu cross, which is what we did in the early days, a crossbred Wagyu as well as doing the full-blood Wagyu, that would have a market into Japan. And, you know, that was what we worked towards. And for many years, all our product went to Japan for many years. Like 100% of what we were producing went to Japan.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Now, what's the attraction of Wagyu beef? What makes the beef special and what makes the cattle special?
Well, Wagyu is a genetic breed of cattle. Mm. It's a Japanese breed, and no other breed has the genetic potential to marble in the meat as Wagyu does. So marbling is the intramuscular fat within the muscle, and it's the marbling that creates the flavour and the taste and the juiciness of the beef. And so even in a Wagyu cross animal, where you've got a minimum of 50% Wagyu, you still have the genetic potential, and depending what you're crossing it with, you still have the genetic potential to create some very highly marbled beef with those special flavours. But it's not just about the genetics, it's also how you raise them and how you feed them. That's also very important.
Okay, what do you do? Well, can you tell us what you do that's different from what other people do? How you raise them, how do you feed them?
I think what makes our beef special is that we're a family-owned operation. We're very small. We control it all right from the genetics that we choose right through to the end product, the meat. So we've got control of the operation the whole way through, whereas other bigger companies that are buying animals in that they're not breeding, they don't have control of the genetics, and that does make a big difference. And I think that's because of that attention to detail in all those aspects and all the phases to get to the end point on the plate. I think that's what makes us different.
What struck me today, eating the beef we had, which was on skewers, and the chef spoke about it in a really offhand way, saying, we put it on skewers and rolled it over the fire. And it was, the meat was sweet, mm-hmm. not sugar sweet, but it's got this lovely quality that really, really good beef has. And it doesn't taste It's an odd thing to say. It doesn't taste meaty. It doesn't
It's a delicate flavour. A really well produced Wagyu beef is a delicate flavour. It shouldn't be, you know, if you dry age it, or, you know, other types of beef can be more meaty, as you say. But what we love about our flavour, and what I think our customers love about it, is that delicacy of it, delicate flavour of it.
That's right, which is extraordinary, given the animals and the marbling. Now, the marbling's measured by numbers, so there's a figure plus score. How does that work?
In Australia, there's the Osmet marbling grades. They go from 0 to 9. In Japan, the marbling grades go up to 12. So in Australia, anything that marbles well above a 9, we call a 9+.
Yep.
But still, even our 9+, if it's a really ripper, like fantastic 9+, that will be equivalent to maybe an A5 in Japan, which will be a 12. Our Wagyu cross cattle average a 7 to 8 marble score. And our full-blood Wagyu average a 9.
Wagyu over the years is that the flavour is different from different producers, and I don't know why that is.
Oh, that's definitely... We often liken it to wine making with the Wagyu. So, you know, you don't just say, I'll have a red wine. You say which variety you'd like, or even more down the track, you'll say which label or which region. So Wagyu's a little bit similar in that... Because all cattle are raised on different diets in different climates, it will produce a different flavour profile.
Different flavour.
And different brands are known for their different flavour profiles.
Ah, that explains quite a lot. Now, you were telling me earlier that Wagyu are really even-tempered. They're really nice cattle.
They are. They're a very good temperament cattle. I mean, like all cattle, it's how they're handled as well. Makes a difference, but they are a very well-natured, easy-to-handle animal, and they're very robust and hardy across across a range of environments. Yeah.
So, where you grow them, what sort of soil, what sort of climate have you got?
Well, we're in the southern part of Australia, in Victoria, so our cattle are grown on our farms at Balan and northeast Victoria in the Talangata Valley, and also on a gisement on another, you know, about 5 or 6 properties throughout Victoria. They're on grass on our properties until they're about 18 months old, and then they're moved into a feedlot situation where they're fed a specially formulated ration, which over the years is our proprietary ration, so it's a secret ration. All natural ingredients. It's a very slow growing ration, so the cattle put on weight very slowly, and that's an important part as well on a grain fed diet, that they put on weight very slowly.
Now, when your initial exports went to Japan, where else do you export to?
Japan in 2001 had a case of BSE, which then the whole market sort of collapsed over there. They stopped importing beef.
And BSE is?
Oh, mad cow disease. And so even at that time, the Japanese government sort of, they tried to keep all the market going, but consumers were scared. So what happened was the market sort of collapsed in Japan. But our customer at the time was very, very honourable and honoured their contract through to the end, even though they would have lost quite a lot of money. And that helped us a lot. But at the same time, we then had to start looking at other markets, because Japan was then closed, not closed literally, but we had no customer there for a few years.
Yeah, that's right.
So we started exploring other markets.
That was one of those oops moments.
Well, that was when we were still, you know, relatively small scale, but it was our whole business then. So we realised that classic 101 of marketing, you know, you don't have all your eggs in one basket. Like, just to have one customer was not really a great idea. So we started looking into other markets, and so we went to Korea, which many of the other Australian exporters also did. So it was a very, very tough few years. But then we started establishing markets in Singapore and Hong Kong. That was around 2005, 2006. And at the same time, we just started dabbling in the local market here in Melbourne.
Because I remember when you started exploring the local market here, and that was rather exciting, because there was, I think, one other Wagyu producer on the local market.
That's right. There was not a lot of Wagyu. Firstly, there wasn't that much Wagyu in those days being produced in Australia. Nothing like that now. Now it's grown enormously from a production point of view. And it was exciting times because we were, it was the first foray into talking to chefs, explaining what our product was, doing sampling, doing trade shows, and educating chefs and consumers about Wagyu, because not many people knew what Wagyu was in those days.
Yeah, here it is. What do I do with it? Yes, said the chefs.
And,
yes.
And, you know, from a price point of view, yes, it's dearer than other meat, but, you know, we think the value's in the quality and the eating of it. So very slowly, we sort of established this local market here. And now, now it's like 12 or 13 years later, but, you know, I think we're quite secure in the Melbourne market, and, you know, we deal with the restaurants and chefs direct. You saw a lot of them out there today.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And throughout the rest of Australia, do you have a market?
We do. We send quite a bit of product to a few venues in Adelaide. We have a couple of wholesalers in Sydney. And every now and then we can send product to WA or Queensland, but we don't have distributors in those states.